This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Look at the footnotes.
I should footnote this.
Is there another footnote?
And there's a footnote at the bottom, plus footnotes, endnotes, a glossary, and two epilogues.
Find out what it says in the footnote.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Footnotes. Very exciting always in the off week to go back to some of our old favourite episodes, but also we've got the option of bringing you guys some little bits of bonus content as well. So yeah. I have Liv with me again today. Very exciting.
Hello, everyone. I'm back.
It's always so fun when you're with me.
So much more better. Oh, that wasn't really so much more better. So much better.
So much better. So much more fun.
Yeah.
So today we have some special guests for today's episode. So we have the Australian Institute of Machine Learning here at the University of Adelaide, but I feel like for most of us, particularly like you and I, we have nothing to do with any kind of science or
literally zero.
Nothing. So we don't really know much about what goes on there. And we thought probably a lot of other people don't either. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be hearing from some of the students and the academics at the Institution of Machine Learning about what they're doing. Just like a little quick fire pitch about their research and what it's going to bring. And I think it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, I think it's a really fun episode. I feel like I'm definitely going to feel a bit out of my depth when I hear some of them talk, but that's okay.
They're going to be so smart.
Yeah, I'm not quite on that level. My B in Year 11 chemistry is not serving me well in this episode.
Look, that's great. I did not do chemistry. It was definitely not the one for me.
That's okay.
But before we get started, let's have a little check-in because yes. We are, as we're recording this, it's week 12.
Week 12, you know what? Which for me, we're actually recording this in the week that it's being posted as well. So
scandal.
All of these updates are as live as they come.
Absolutely. Oh my God. So how is your week 12 going?
So my week 12, amazing. My week 10 and 11, don't even talk to me. So I'm in my final semester of study and I had all of my final assignments due in weeks 10 and 11. I literally had three assignments due in the space of like 3 days.
That's all so offensive being due before week 12 as well when they're final assignments.
Literally all of them were group assignments, all of them like minimum 15,000 words. Perfect.
Crazy.
Here we are though. We're all done. Kind of. I have a presentation today after this and then I have a test tomorrow and then it's just my three exams.
I feel like that's
and I'm
good.
Out of here.
That's good.
I've got a little countdown on my desk, 15 days.
I'm obsessed with the countdown. She colours in like a new number every day.
Yes, it's so cute and I can't double up the colours that go together.
No. You've got to keep it. Got to keep it fresh.
Anyway, Shannon's update is way more exciting than mine. What's your update for the moment?
Well, yesterday I handed up my honours thesis.
Oh my God.
So I'm all done. That was crazy.
Round of applause.
My year is entirely completely done at uni. It's crazy. I didn't realise how early like honours students get their stuff done until they were telling me about it end of last year.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you'll be done in October.
Crazy.
Like, that's incredible.
I wish. I'm lucky. My exam timetable did me well. I'm done on November 6th. So
that's so good.
Not too far away. Can't really complain.
Yeah. I remember 1 year I had the first exam and then the last exam.
That's basically what I had last semester.
Yeah.
I had the Saturday, like the very first day, and then I had the Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Brutal.
Thank you so much, everyone.
And I'm also enjoying our outfits today. It's
yes.
quite funny. So if you haven't seen any of our videos, which you can see on our Instagram at uoa.oncampus that we do of the podcast, but Liv and I are almost like, I feel like we were talking about this before, like not that I'm saying we're Barbie, but I feel like they're like,
I want to be,
but I feel like whenever you saw like the Barbie movies and there was like two of them, like one's blonde, one's brunette and that's us. And I feel like we've taken that to a new level today with our outfits.
Yeah. So obviously I have blonde hair. I live my life wanting to be Barbie. Normally I'm tan, but unfortunately, I've scrubbed it all off and I'm not that tan today. But I'm wearing all black with white sneakers. What are you wearing?
All white with black sneakers.
There you go.
Her hair's up, my hair's down. We're just total opposites. You've got a neon bright drink bottle. Mine is white.
Yeah. You're really going for the all white today, but the all white outfit, the white water bottle.
Didn't plan it. It's just the way the life was today.
Yeah. I don't know how I've ended up in all black. Normally I like to have some colour somewhere, but I've even opted for a black ribbon in my hair. So must be feeling quite depressed.
That week 12 is
yeah. But after Wednesday, literally tomorrow, we're recording on a Tuesday. I've done one subject is gone and I've done all of my assessments and all of my classes. So then I have like literally 2 weeks to revise for my exams, which is so good.
Genuinely like congrats. That's
yeah,
so good.
Thanks. You
That's
too.
So good. And then you'll be done your whole degree.
My whole degree. Undergrad. Tick the box.
Wow.
We're out of here.
Wow. That is so exciting.
Yes.
But yeah, I think we'll have we've got 3 guests for you today. Our first guest is Dr. Dani, and she is researching how to use machine learning and AI to identify heart issues and diagnose heart problems, and particularly looking at different types of heart arrhythmias and those kinds of things. I'm basically trying to see what kind of role machine learning can play in the detection of heart issues, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Hi, my name's Dr. Dani Dharmaprani, and I am a postdoctoral researcher and future-making fellow at the Australian Institute for Machine Learning here at the University of Adelaide. My research area is really mainly looking at cardiology and precision medicine in cardiology, and then also within the broader healthcare kind of field. So a lot of my research focus has been over the past few years trying to understand arrhythmias and different heart rhythm disorders and how we can better treat them. And so a lot of my work at the Australian Institute for Machine Learning has been to leverage AI and machine learning tools in order to better diagnose, treat, and understand these different types of arrhythmias. And so I'm kind of one of many researchers working in medical AI at the Institute, but there's lots going on from agriculture, cybersecurity, space, computer vision. Yeah, there's heaps going on.
Yeah, and what are you looking to achieve with your research?
Yeah, so my overarching goal would be really just to improve patient health for Australians. So cardiovascular diseases and heart rhythm disorders are really prevalent in society and one of the major causes of hospitalisation and even death. So my goal would be to harness emerging technologies and things like AI and machine learning to help better improve patient outcomes, particularly where at the moment we have, minority and disadvantaged communities who are really unfortunately impacted by discrepancies in healthcare outcomes.
And what, I guess, inspired you to go down the route of machine learning when it comes to sort of, I guess, contributing to the medical field?
Yes, that's a good question. So my background's actually not computer science. My background is engineering. So I studied biomedical engineering with a major in electronics. And so I've always been interested in, I guess, more technical aspects and applying those sorts of approaches to healthcare. And so naturally, as kind of I went down the path of different engineering applications, I started to explore more computational approaches. So things like one of kind of the other bits of research that I do is computational simulations and modeling. So I actually develop virtual hearts and things as well. And then that kind of led on to what are some other computational applications. And then this obviously very emerging field of AI and machine learning, and it's becoming quite widespread in healthcare. And so, yeah, I thought I'd explore that as well for cardiac electrophysiology and see where that could lead.
Yeah, amazing. And I guess like what kind of things is the Institute able to provide you to sort of help with this type of research?
Yeah, so the Institute has been so great. So I actually joined just at the start of this year. And again, just to preface, I don't come from like an AI machine learning expertise or anything. So it's been really great to actually have just such a network of expert people who are really, really knowledgeable in the field, and collaborators, and kind of, yeah, just soak up what they do and learn cutting edge methodologies and, yeah, see what's kind of being done in the field and how I can apply that to healthcare. On top of that, they have such a great support system in terms of admin and their professional team. So they go above and beyond in supporting all of us researchers. So, you know, for example, suggesting that I come on the podcast today, which is really lovely. And also just in terms of obviously computational resources as well. So we have access to obviously really, really nice computing gear to do all of this research, you know, clusters and things like that that we need because obviously it's very computationally heavy stuff. So yeah, they've been really great.
Amazing. And is there anything else you'd like people to know about your field of study?
Yeah, so I think I'm a big proponent for just kind of pushing boundaries and seeing where we can advance just knowledge and research through the application of, yeah, kind of emerging technologies and things. And so I think while some people probably are a bit scared of AI and machine learning, you know, there is a big scope to use it for public good. So, for example, using it in healthcare is one such application. I don't necessarily think, you know, it's all doom and gloom and we're going to have Skynet and things like that. Yeah, there's a lot of great people using it to better society. So, yeah, I think it's a really great field to get into.
Our second guest is Melinda, who's designed a machine learning model to help with the identification of different issues that might happen in the medical field. This is within medical imaging. Tasks can then be identified faster, leaving the medical professionals to do their work quicker. They can also identify multiple tasks at once instead of having to do separate imaging for each different thing that they're trying to identify. What great work in the medical field.
I start my PhD around 6-7 months before. Earlier, and my research is on the pre-training model for medical imaging. So what is pre-trained means, so they have a lot of like segmentation tasks for different downstream, which means like more specific tasks. People want to segment out the tumor, the lesion, or some anatomical structures, but these are specific tasks. So one task for tumor, one task for lesion, one task for a specific disease like ischemia. And what I'm doing is like before we going to do this specific task, we train the model like to learn some general knowledge about how is the brain goes. It's like a medical student before they're doing specific disease, they have to learn like what is the general structure of basic knowledge of the brain, the body, and some knowledge. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to train a model to teach the model to learn general information. And then hopefully this model, when they apply to different specific tasks, they will improve their accuracy or make the training more efficiency for the different downstream tasks. I am training the model. And this model will test it on different tasks, like specific tasks. See if with this training or without this training, how the performance improve.
Okie dokie. Yeah, it sounds very complicated. So you've used the word downstream task. So I'm someone who has absolutely no knowledge about machine learning or AI. So what is a downstream task?
Downstream task means specific task. For example, specific disease, brain tumor, specific disease, lesion, specific disease as ischemia, this classification of whether this people has ischemia or not. It's like more specific disease with specific label, people telling you, yes, tumor is here, lesion is here, yes or not. It has disease or not. Mm-hmm. This like any specific disease or task, we call the like downstreams. Like pre-train doesn't aiming for one specific disease. It's aiming for I'm learning the general knowledge and the structure of how the brain goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okie dokie. And so what are you hoping to, I guess, achieve with your research? So what kind of contribution are you hoping that it makes to the field?
So it will be very meaningful, to be honest, for the medical portrayal, because normally the downstream tasks of medical area, they is very expensive for annotation, and the data is relatively less compared to the nature domains. So this portrayal will help with specific tasks. Like it will improve the accuracy of tumor segmentation. It will improve the accuracy of lesion segmentation. It will improve the accuracy of other like brain-related disease or anatomical structure segmentation. So what I want is that my pre-trained model can benefit all these kind of downstream tasks. It's like if you straight away train a model from scratch for the downstream task, it's like the model is very task specific. They only learn, okay, this is tumor. He doesn't know like any other more specific thing, like how the brain structure goes, why it's more likely being there. It's just like a kindergarten kids see the picture and point it out, okay, this color and this color are different, but they don't know like the big structure of the meaning.
Yep.
And portrayal is like, I'll give you a brief idea already how the brain goes. For example, we have different sequence modalities, how different sequence modalities, they address different structures. Like T1, T2 flare is complicated. And then you give this prior knowledge to the model first, and then leading the model to do specific downstream task. It will give, like, with the circumstances, like, there's very less data for a very specific task, and expensive annotation is like, we can get full use of this small data set of specific downstream and improve them.
Okay, so it's going to be able to do like a multitude of tasks rather than just the one.
Yep.
So it's going to be more multi-purpose and you can just use the one model is kind of what you're aiming for.
I think it's quite meaningful because we need the, because pre-trained model is quite popular in natural domain. For example, GPT, it stands for General Pre-trained Transformer, which is like I already pre-trained a huge amount of data and then when you use it, you don't have to train it again. You just use it. It's like because they have the prior knowledge about a lot of things. But this kind of pre-trained model is relatively very scarce in medical domain. Mm-hmm. And medical domain really need these kind of things because the data is less and annotation is expensive. So I think medical AI, this direction is quite meaningful. Is if you're doing this good, you're literally going to help, like, in the daily life, how doctors improve the efficiency, like doctors, to detect analysis, the disease or the patient. I think it got some like practical meanings in it, and also it's like this research area is kind of like blue sea. People need more. And they need more, like, people to contribute in this area.
Our final guest today is Hamed, and he's a PhD candidate. And his research is looking at the development of reasoning within machine learning and AI models and moving towards true AI, looking forward to the future, basically, and seeing what they can do with it. And he also tells us a little bit about his experience at AIML.
I'm Hamed Damirci, and I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Adelaide. My main position is a researcher at the Australian Institute for Machine Learning, and the research that I'm doing is under the Center for Augmented Reasoning. It's a program that allows researchers to really go. It's sort of like we're funded so that we don't have to worry about what's happening right now or what the issues are right now, but more like really research about what's what we can do to really push the edge of AI and sort of figure out what the next problem is going to be, as opposed to just solving ones that are sort of like seeming more and more trivial as days go by, because with how, like, you've seen ChatGPT and, you know, these models are coming out more and more and, you know, different companies are doing them. But at the end of the day, you know, these models have issues, you know, with the bigger the models that the bigger that these models get, it's not necessarily that there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to like reason or be able to like really represent true AI. And we're focusing on that, how we can sort of, you know, come up with algorithms or come up with methods that would allow these models to punch way above what we could possibly think, you know, they're capable of in a way. And that's just in general the research that we focus on or, you know, hope for. And the research that I do specifically is concerned with compositional learning. It's this concept that models have to really understand the way we understand our surroundings. So, and the specific thing that we're really trying to focus on is compositionality, which is this concept that if you're looking at like a scene or you're looking at text or any form of data, you have to understand that it's made of smaller parts and those smaller parts are combined together to make the thing that you're looking at. So if it's an image, it's objects and the way that they're connected together or they're positioned. And but the problem is that these models, even ChatGPT or even like larger models, don't have this capability of just understanding that. Because apart from not being structured to understand that, making them bigger and bigger won't help with this. So this is a fundamental capability that humans have that machines don't. So if we just give them that, then that will be like a component of AI that will help them like achieve way better performance on models and also be able to sort of, you know, compute things in a way that we understand. And if we understand them better, then we'll be able to evaluate them better and sort of make them work very well for specific problems that, you know, AI can help with humanity and stuff like that, like AI for good in general.
Yeah, okay. So it's kind of getting the moving these models closer to performing like a human brain does.
Sort of, yeah. It's more about, because like that would be the end goal. But if you get the models to think similar to how human thinks, like humans think, like as in, you know, understand compositionality, for example, then that part will already happen. So all we need to do is just structure the model in a way that would think like humans think, and then that will automatically just translate to better performance. So that's the best part of it. You know, we don't really need to worry about like better performance. We just need to worry about how we can make it so that it thinks like a human. Actually, my undergrad is in mechanical engineering, and my master's is in mechatronics engineering. So I wasn't really in, you know, machine learning or AI. And my original research was mainly concerned with robotics back in the day. And then, like, around the time that self-driving vehicles were sort of coming up and they were becoming a thing where people were, like, being concerned with them, I sort of started focusing on self-driving vehicles and figuring out, you know, what better methods there could be for, you know, controlling these vehicles. And with that, I got more and more into sort of like how object recognition or object detection is done. And that sort of pushed me towards more and more understanding, okay, like, you know, the more important part of it seems to be the algorithm as opposed to the implementation. And, you know, other than self-driving cars, if we were just to, like, the question for self-driving cars isn't really concerned with cars themselves, but AI. And that sort of pushed me more towards this sort of a space where, you know, we do main research about like how can we improve AI to the point that we don't have to worry about the edge cases. And that's sort of, yeah, that brought me here.
Yeah. Okie dokie. And I guess what is the end goal for you when it comes to your contribution to machine learning?
So my main concern is still with true AI because there are a lot of, right now the field is more and more trying to replicate companies. And I think that's a really bad thing because universities usually don't have the capability to keep up with companies because companies have a lot of resources and they can just, you know, throw data and larger models at problems and pretend like they fixed them. But at the end of the day, you know, researchers are always the people who, you know, hit back and say, okay, this is the one thing that we were hoping to achieve, like, for example, reasoning, and you still haven't achieved it, even though you're pretending like you have. And that's why my main concern has always been with true AI and figuring out how we can get these models to the point where they can do everything that humans can do, not just reasoning, not just understanding compositionality, but be able to, you know, because there are strict definitions for AI, but also how, you know, as time goes on, these intelligent agents that we can build up, how they can keep learning and keep adapting and learn new things based on the things that they already know, similar to how humans do. And, you know, that still seems to be so far away, even with the advancements that we've made. And, you know, as the, you know, time goes on, people in the field are moving more and more towards, again, getting maybe misguided or, you know, being enticed to work on these large language models more and more. And even though that's a really good direction, it's just that sometimes it feels like, you know, we're just lying to ourselves in terms of what's really happening. And I'm thankful that at least the people that I work for understand that. Maybe in institutions in America or institutions in Europe or in like these places where there's a lot of like fierce competition, there's always this push to maybe publish work. There's always this push to constantly come up with not necessarily good work, but also work that can sound really good, you know, like attract media or attention or something like that. But one of the things that I'm really thankful for in Australia, specifically in our institution, Australian Institute for Machine Learning, is that we can, you know, we're not really bound by these. I mean, we do publish a lot of our work, but the thing is that we're not necessarily bound to really, really recent, really, really popular methods. We don't just follow along the path of other people who are just like only going for after popularity. We're mainly actually focused with, you know, what is the point of your work? What is the point that you're trying to, what is the thing that you're trying to accomplish with AI? And I think that should be the most important thing that people should look for when they're trying to come to this university. And that, you know, they don't need to worry about the thing that is really annoying about research with your advisors pushing you to publish papers every 3 months or something like that. Instead, they can just come here and actually be paid to do the thing that they love, which is usually research, and have just, you know, if you think that there's this thing that people aren't focusing on, that you're that you can do something about it and achieve greatness, then this is the place for you.
That was so amazing hearing from everyone. I can't believe the kinds of things that they're doing over there.
I know, it's actually insane. Like, the amazing work that they're doing is like incredible. I could never do anything like that.
I could honestly never. so smart.
I'm like, thank God that is not what I have to do. Thank God I can just stick to making Instagram videos. I actually also did a little series with Amol. I went over and visited them a couple of weeks ago, and up on the UOA.oncampus Instagram account, there's two videos, one where I visit Amol and I take you on a little tour around the place, and another one features their amazing robot dog doing a little dance. So
that's actually my favorite.
Yeah, it's probably the favorite video I've ever made.
Honestly, I like Liv sent it into like the team group chat and we were all like, we're obsessed.
I was like, please tell me it's funny. So yeah, definitely go check out those on the Instagram if you want more AIML content.
Yeah. And I mean, if you do get a chance to check out the actual building as well, I think it's definitely worth a look because you had a good peek in what they're doing over there.
It's insane. So cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for joining us.
And thank you, AIML, for being involved with us.
Yeah, no, that's so great. It's nice to work with other groups around the uni as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be able to share the stuff that they're doing. But yeah, that's all from us for this footnote. But we'll be back with an episode, a proper full-on episode next week as well. So we will see you then, everyone.
Bye.
Take note.
Next time I promise to read all the footnotes.
This is a UOA on campus production.